Good evening, everyone. Would you turn with me to Psalm 23? The 23rd Psalm. Before we begin, let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we commit this time to you now, thanking you for your word and for your spirit who works amongst us. Lord, we pray that you would work, that you would open our eyes, that you would convince of sin, that you would use me, it'll be none of myself, it'll be all of you, Father. We need you, we look to you, and we pray you would be amongst us as you promised, Lord, and working. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, I believe the Lord would have me to start a series on Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, a well-beloved Psalm. So let's read it together from verse 1 of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23, probably the most famous psalm and very beloved by Christians for a long time. Everyone loves to read this psalm. We see it read at funerals. It's on tapestries and paintings. Psalm 23 is known even by unbelievers. 23rd Psalm, written by David, the shepherd king of Israel. It could be called the Shepherd Psalm. The Shepherd Psalm. The whole idea of this poem is based around the idea of the relationship between God and his children being akin to that between a shepherd and his sheep. That's the basic premise. The relationship between God and his children is like that between a shepherd and his sheep. This whole idea is found throughout Scripture. God himself refers to himself as a shepherd. Psalm 80 verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Also in the New Testament, 1 Peter 5 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Additionally, the scriptures refer to the children of Israel as sheep. We had also in Psalm 80, verse 1, we read, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock. We have in Matthew chapter 10, verse 6, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So God is a shepherd. Israel is sheep. The church is also referred to as the sheep of God. 1 Peter 2:25, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And even unbelievers are referred to as sheep. Luke 15, verses 6 and 7, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. The analogy is well founded in Scripture. God is a shepherd. People, you and I, are sheep. But here there is a crucial distinction to be made. All people are sheep in the typology of Scripture, but most especially, God's people are his sheep. Not everyone belongs to the Good Shepherd. God's people belong to him. Now, belonging to the Good Shepherd confers many benefits and involves an incredibly involved, connected relationship between shepherd and sheep. To belong to the Good Shepherd is defining to who you are. And Psalm 23 poetically describes this beautiful relationship. Provision and care and protection. By way of introduction to the psalm, I want to go to the New Testament, have a look at some of the other benefits. If you go with me to Matthew chapter 25. The New Testament also looks at some of the benefits of being a sheep belonging to the Good Shepherd. Matthew 25, we have the same analogy, shepherd and sheep. Verse 31 of Matthew chapter 25. We'll start and we'll go verse by verse and we'll talk about it as we go. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. There will come a time when the shepherd, Jesus Christ, will come to rule this world as king. But prior to this, he has some business to attend to with us, the Lord's people, his sheep, and some other people as well. We read on, verse 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Now this is a curious thing indeed, to find the sheep intermingled with some goats. The shepherds of the Near East often had their sheep mixed up together with sheep from another shepherd, or even goats would intermingle. And so there would be this mixed multitude, and probably quite noisy and smelly, of sheep and goats and sheep belonging to different shepherds. But the relationship between shepherd and sheep was so personal that the shepherd had a name for each one of his sheep, like we might for a pet dog or for horses. And the shepherd would call each sheep by name. And there's accounts of where there would be a mixed group of sheep and goats and different sheep from different shepherds. And the one shepherd would call his sheep out from the group. And all of the sheep belonging to him would hear his voice and know and would come out. The shepherd knew his sheep. The sheep knew the shepherd's voice. And there was a separation in the flocks. And there will be a separation at the end of the age between sheep and goats. Verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, this is his sheep, them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Wow. The shepherd has his sheep on the right hand. The right hand is a position of favour. It says specifically, as a shepherd divideth his sheep in verse 32. The flock of the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of the age have incredible blessings. There is an invitation from the king. The king says, come. There is a blessing from God the Father. He says, come, ye blessed of my Father. To belong to the good shepherd confers incredible blessing and favour from God on high. Says that we'll have an inheritance of a kingdom. And in verse 46, these sheep will have life eternal. Life eternal. True sheep who belong to Jesus Christ are people who have repented of their sin, trusted in him as their own saviour in complete faith and obedience. These are the benefits, some of the many benefits and blessings given to sheep who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. God has this in store for us as his people. Why is this blessing given? Well, let's read from verse 35. The word for tells us this is the reason for the blessing. Verse 35, for I was anhungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? Excuse me. When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Because the sheep belongs to the King of Kings, they had the blessing. God chooses to bless those people who have repented of their sin. God wants to bless his sheep. But the key thing here we read, and is highlighted in the story, there was living proof that these sheep belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. There was very clear evidence of who the owner was. The Lord Jesus Christ owned these sheep, referred to as the righteous. Now, we have many ways today of marking cattle and sheep, so we know who owns them. We've branded cattle with a hot iron, or some people use tattoos, or even these days there's microchip implanting and radio frequency identification, all these different ways. One of the ancient ways was to take a hammer and like a nail and put it to the ear of the sheep, put a hole in the ear, and that was called an earmark. And you might hear the term an earmark, like a hallmark, a tag, a brand, so they knew who owned the sheep. And you could look at the sheep and see from the marking on its ear, maybe its fleece, who owned it. There was a very clear visual representation of the owner. And God knows his sheep. John 10:14 says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. God knows his sheep. But, you know, more than this, by their fruits ye shall know them. There was fruit evident in the life of the sheep that they belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. Other people could also see by the earmark of their righteous lives that they belonged to Jehovah God. There was a very clear evidence. God has his own flock. However, we read that amongst the sheep, there were another group of people represented by the goats, mixed in. Now the goats, they do not have a connection to a shepherd like sheep do. Sheep are closely related in every way of their daily lives to the shepherd. They have a name. They are called out of the mixed multitude. Sheep are so dependent upon the shepherd for leading and for sustenance, for protection. But goats are different. Goats are more self-willed, will go their own way, and do not need the shepherd so much. These goats do not belong to the good shepherd. Moreover, we read from verse 40, and the king verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, this is the goats, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. There is a punishment for those outside of the flock of God. Verse 42, why? For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous, or the flock of God, into life eternal. Wow. These goats did not have the earmark of the good shepherd upon them. These people had no such fruit, no living proof that they were truly part of the flock of God. They never got the brand belonging to the good shepherd. And there is a punishment, the scriptures say, for being outside of the flock of God. Eternal punishment, everlasting fire. They are outside his family, and that's a scary thing. But the most fearful of all, we read in verse 44, that these goats appear to believe that they were in the family of God. The goats appeared to think that they were sheep belonging to the good shepherd. But you know, they were amongst the flock, but they were not part of the flock. Only being bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ makes us one of God's. Repenting, of our sin and placing our faith in Christ is what makes us his own. Intermingling with the true sheep of God doesn't make us one such true sheep. Associating with Christians does not confer any blessings of being a child of God. And there is a danger that we can be involved with church but never truly trusted in Christ as our own Saviour. The question is not, do I say I am a Christian? Or do you go to church regularly? Or are your parents believers? No, the question is, have you allowed the Good Shepherd to rescue your lost soul? Every child born to Christian parents is a lost sheep. I was one. Born to Christian parents who belong to the Good Shepherd. I grew up amongst the flock, but I needed to let the Saviour take me for his own. I needed to trust the Good Shepherd for myself. I was a lost sheep, headed for eternal punishment, like the goats. I was lost until I, for myself, chose to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my own Saviour when I was about 4 years old. We all need to be saved. No one can do it for us. And perhaps tonight you are in this position. Perhaps tonight you are even willing to acknowledge that you are not truly belonging to the King. I don't know. The Lord knows the heart. You do. But what now? Am I doomed for eternal punishment like these goats? Is it all written out and there's no choice? Is the King here eagerly waiting to punish me for not being included in his flock? Has he barred the way into the fold? The answer is no. Jesus Christ is called the Good Shepherd with good reason. He sees people outside his protection and ownership. He sees the lost sheep outside of his love and blessing, and he wants to save them. The Bible tells us how the Good Shepherd sees lost sheep. Whilst on earth, walking through the towns, our Lord Jesus Christ saw many people. And at one such time, he saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ has compassion on the lost sheep. He sees your need. He sees that you are lost in your sin. He knows he can meet that need and he wants to rescue you. Jesus, the Son of Man, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The shepherd has come to save you. The good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, goes to great lengths to redeem the lost. He wants you to know how much he loves you. He even told a story one time to demonstrate the incredible lengths he would go to. In Luke 15, Christ portrays himself as a shepherd. And if the Spirit of God is convicting your heart, then you may also put yourself in the place of the lost sheep in this story. Christ begins, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" It's a rhetorical question. If you were a shepherd, a herdsman, and you have lost one sheep, wouldn't you look for your lost sheep until you had found it and go to the end of the earth to save your sheep? Even if you had 99 sheep safe and sound, would you not go out into the wilderness, wherever the sheep may be, not resting until you had found it and rescued it? The assumed answer is, of course, yes. All of the people in Jesus' time listening to the story knew full well that the life of any shepherd is so closely bound to his sheep that he practically gives his life for them. On a daily basis, the shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Why are there 99 sheep in the story, which are safely in the shepherd's care already? Because if you are the lost sheep, the Lord is not fazed at all if you are the 1%. You are still important. He still wants to save you. He's going to go out of his way to rescue you and make sure you are safe. Wherever we have wandered to, far away from God, away into the next valley, over the mountains, in a chasm, down a hole, The Lord Jesus Christ will come and find you. And whatever dark place you've found yourself in, the Savior wants to reach in and save you, if you let him. Christ will do anything and pay any price to redeem you. In fact, he's already paid the ultimate price to forgive you of your sins. John 10:11. I am the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus says. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's tree, he paid the penalty for sin for you and me. He died in our place. He has already given his life for us, the sheep. And he wants to confer the blessings upon you. He wants to save you. And he will not stop until you've been rescued. Is the good shepherd pursuing you tonight? The Bible says Christ, in the story, goes after that which is lost until he finds it. The story goes on. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. The Lord Jesus wants to be able to say, rejoice with me, I have found my sheep which was lost. Will tonight be the time when it can be said that the good shepherd has found you, his sheep which was lost? How awful it would be to go through life amongst the flock of God, thinking all was well, but never having been rescued by the good shepherd. And yet, how good it is to know the Spirit of God confirming that we are his sheep in our hearts. One of the many blessings of being a sheep of God is that the Lord confirms in our hearts that we belong to him. It's a specific job given to the Spirit of God to assure us that we are the sons of God. A wonderful blessing to not be left in the dark. Before we can claim, the Lord is my shepherd, can we truly say, I am the Lord's sheep? This is the first question that must be answered as we journey into Psalm 23. A great psalm, a beautiful psalm. But we must enter through this door and not climb in some other way. We must enter in through the door of the sheepfold, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way to enter into Psalm 23 and the blessings of being with the shepherd. It's the greatest question anyone has ever been asked. Can you say, I'm the Lord's sheep? And your answer to the question possesses the most far-reaching consequences imaginable. It's impossible to progress any further into Psalm 23 without first making certain I belong to the Good Shepherd. And we can know we do. So the question is, am I still a lost sheep? Or am I safe in the fold of the Good Shepherd? Am I out in the mountains and wandering in sin? And am I willing to recognize my need of a shepherd, that I am lost, that I need the good shepherd to save me? Am I willing to turn from my rebellion against Christ and cast myself into his arms? Lord, I'm lost in my sin. Please save me. Wash me in your precious blood. Make me one of your sheep. I need saving. Having thrown ourselves into the arms of the good shepherd, in faith and repentance, we can then lovingly exclaim, the Lord is my shepherd. And we can say that for ourselves. And from that wonderful starting point, knowing that we are the Lord's sheep, we can embark on the adventure of Psalm 23.